Good morning, everyone. If I haven't met you before, my name is Ben. I've been part of this church family since 2004. It's a great privilege to be with you all this morning. Well, some of you may know that my extended family from Malaysia and Singapore came to the Camden Haven for an early Christmas family gathering. And I thought my family was big. There was 18 of us, but Jean Atkins from the 8 a.m. service told me that at her Christmas, there was 38 of them. So out of 18 of them, four are staying till the 8th of January. It's been really good to spend time with family and just to catch up and to show them around the area. My niece-in-law is one of the four that stayed on. She loves to cook and she loves to try on new dishes. So about a week and a half ago, she wanted to cook pork katsudon, which is a Japanese pork dish. It was very yummy dinner, and I was very interested to learn how to cook it. So I asked her how it was made, and I was expecting her to give me all the details as we conversed. To which she answered me, "Just Google it." Of course, it's on Google. Google has become the quintessential help desk, so much so that the word Google is part of our daily conversation. You need help with something? Just Google it. Did you Google this? You can find answers at the tip of your fingers. Over the next 5 weeks, we are going to be looking at the last five Psalms, as mentioned by Lindsay, known as the Hallel Psalms. This is because these five Psalms begin and end with the Hebrew word Hallel, from which we get Hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Psalm 146 is the first of these five Psalms. We're going to look at praising the Lord for His help. The first and last phrase of this psalm, praise the Lord, makes it plain that this psalm or hymn calls God's people to praise Him. Looking at verses 1 and 2, the psalmist states that praise stems from the soul, and praise goes for an entire lifetime or as long as life is permitted here on earth. It shows a commitment to praise God, and it ought to come from the very core of our being. It is a lifelong practice. So much so that as believers, this is what we do when we come together on Sundays. Can I therefore encourage us all to always pause and reflect, what is our motivation for coming to church? In verse 3 it says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings." This does not mean that we cannot trust people at all. Instead, it points out that princes and human beings have limitations, specifically their inability to save. The psalmist warns against trusting in princes, in human beings, because at the end of the day, they are unable to save us from our eternal damnation. Unable to save us from an eternal separation from God Himself. Human beings are just mere mortals. We are the created ones. At some point in time, we will face death. We are completely dependent on God as to what happens after we die. Verse 4. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. As trustworthy as we are or can be, you and I still have flaws. We will fail others, I have and will fail you. The psalmist points out the mortality of man and the pointlessness of putting all our trust in them. There is an end to man's plans. In contrast, if we place our trust in the God of Jacob, the God who declared his blessings to and through Abraham, the God who has demonstrated his faithfulness to all who place their trust in him, then there is an absolute assurance of hope in the Lord our God. No one can help us like God can. No one can save us like God can. And that is why when help comes from God, we are blessed indeed. It is important for us to keep God's perspective in mind when it comes to his help. The psalmist proclaims that God, the God of Jacob, is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. If he made us, then he indeed would be most qualified to know what is best for us. But more importantly, his plans and his purposes are perfect, and he will fulfill what he has set out to do. That is the nature of our Creator and our great God. There is no other God like him. He remains faithful forever. In the Old Testament times, the psalmist would have heard and experienced the faithfulness of God shown throughout Israel's history. For us today, what God promised to Abraham, we can now look back and see that it is ultimately fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He is the one whom God sent to earth to die for our sins. He is the one who gives us the greatest blessing of all, the way to be reconciled back to God. He is the one who gives us hope, and God's faithfulness provides us the greatest help in Jesus Christ. The psalmist gives further reasons for those who place their hope in God. In his grace and mercy, he upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He sets the prisoners free. He gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He watches over the foreigner. He sustains the fatherless and the widow. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. In all these situations, the psalmist declares the power of God and his faithfulness in providing the relief to those in need. Similarly, Jesus in Matthew 11, as read earlier by Raya, in verse 4 said, "Go back and report to John the Baptist what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." It is a confirmation to John the Baptist that Jesus is indeed the Messiah and not to expect anyone else. When we draw our attention away from these truths by comparing what of God's work we see or don't see today, it is easy for us to be discouraged and distracted. Our personal sufferings or misfortunes, seeing other people going through hardships after hardships, or when we hear of the dire circumstances of this world, it can cause us to question if God is ever going to come and help. We do not always get to see justice served or situations improved. But it does not mean God is unable to help. It just means his plan and purpose is different to ours. There will come a time when our present suffering will be no more. The believers who are oppressed, those who are hungry, the prisoners, the blind, those who are bowed down, the foreigners, the widows, the fatherless, will find eternal comfort and relief in the Lord. We, as believers, wait patiently, and our hope is in the Lord our God. But do you know the greatest miracle we see in this present age is when someone becomes a believer and decides to follow Jesus? God, in his rich grace and mercy, has provided salvation. Once an enemy, now an heir. Once an outsider, now a child of God. The heavens rejoice, and we praise God for that. The person's greatest need is helped by God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Lord loves the righteous. God delights in those who are made right with him. Our righteousness is a gift from God when we turn away from sin and turn to him. So can I encourage us all to live in that direction? Can I encourage us to constantly move towards the righteousness of God? As the psalmist draws this psalm to a close, the psalmist declares that the Lord will reign forever. He is our God. He is our King. He is our help, and we praise him for that. I don't personally know all your circumstances and how 2017 has been for you. You might have had a really good year, or you may have had a really rough year and really looking forward to a new year for 2018. Or maybe you are making a list of resolutions for the new year. Well, last night, I Googled. I typed in New Year resolution ideas. In 0.5 seconds, there was about 24,300,000 results to potentially help meet my need to be better for the year 2018. And you know what? While Google is very helpful, no amount of Google search results can help meet my needs like God can. In 1965, the Beatles released a song called Help. Perhaps for a while now, you have been singing to this tune. Well, I'm not going to try and attempt to sing this because it might just be a couple of years before my time. But the words of this song go like this. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, I've opened up the doors. And now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seemed to vanish in a haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? In Psalm 146, verse 5, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. If you need help, I am not going to attempt to ask you to Google it, but together we can look to God for his help. So before 2017 ends, can I encourage you to consider this? Search God, seek his word, pray to him, get alongside with another, and follow Jesus. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Let's praise the Lord for his help. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you have provided us the greatest help. We thank you that we can come to you confidently, not because of what we can offer to you, but because of what you have done for us in your Son, Jesus. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves, to know when to seek help, to always rely on you in all that we do in our daily lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.